You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
Obviously, there have been some amazing films. The Oscars have come and gone, and we have seen the film that have won, you know, the best picture Oscar. And what an amazing film it was. It gave us all the feels, and we have different views here in the studio. So spoiler alert, for the next 20 minutes, we want to just show some love for this incredible film. And you can join in if you have seen it. If you haven't, close your ears. Now is the chance to listen to, I don't know, some classical music for about 20 minutes, because we're going to go in. We're going to really make love to it. And obviously, if you haven't seen the best film, you've missed out, because La La Land was just amazing. Hey, waiter! Stop! Mistake. Excuse. I don't know who to blame. Deloitte and Touch. Actually, we're talking about Moonlight. Oh, stunning. Stunning. I gotta go see it again. I hope it hasn't been taken off the circuit yet. And Olwazi has seen it. We're not gonna say why my household before South Africans did.
I can't expose such things.
No, Loazi, you're a cunning linguist. How does one even summarize the plot? Just to start there, and then we'll talk about what was so amazing about it.
Oh, summarize the plot. I think that it's a three-part journey, right? Through the experiences. It's a three-part journey revealing the sometimes arduous.
Sharon, right? That was the character.
Yes, it was.
Sharon.
It's a three-part. Yeah, it's a three-part journey through someone's masculinity, through black. Queer masculinity. That's how I would describe it.
The first thing, I mean, there's so many things. Can I first say that the horrible first thing I loved about it, and I say horrible because obviously we wish we didn't live in a world in which we need to say that this is a cool thing about it. Yeah. It wasn't a black film about gangsters, about violence.
Yeah.
Even race wasn't really central. It really was. I mean, obviously there's poverty and class and stuff. But one reason I love, the first reason I love it, which I call a negative reason, before we talk about the positive elements for me, I don't know about you guys, is that this is not like, you know, I don't know, Gangs in the Hood or whatever. It was just so wonderful to have a black film made that is about some element of identity still, but it is not about thugs.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that what I liked about it on that point is that it humanized the thugs. So you the father figure that you have in the first sequence, it's John, if I'm not mistaken, he would be what people would think is a thug, but the way that he's portrayed and that that violence and that danger of him is very, it's very soft and very subtle. It's there, you know, you can't deny the fact that this is a man who is kind of dangerous in his neighborhood, but it's not an overt kind of swat khafar violence, you know?
Yeah, a phrase that won't make it into reviews in America, but we know what you mean. The South African version. Do you agree, Mao?
Yes. When you look at Juan, right, it's that from the moment he comes into the scene, he just has that sense of presence. So you already can identify him as the guy who's probably running those streets. But what's also interesting on what you touched on about the fact that it's not a gangster movie, it's the fact that the plot, especially with the first part of it, is actually set around the late 80s and the 90s, when crack was a big thing in the in the projects and the black neighborhoods. So you get that subtle taste of it with that young drug dealer selling and that other the druggie trying to get some crack. So you get that taste of it without getting that extreme harsh experience that you normally get with shootouts and cars driving past and so forth. So I do agree with you on the first point that it was a movie which gave you gangsterism without giving you the violence, I guess.
And the humanity point, I think, is very important, because for me, like, what's his name, Jean, that father figure at the beginning, I'm a cynic, right, about films. I love drama. It's my favorite genre. And I hate it when it's not real. And yet, when he first makes an appearance on set, he's sort of imbued with just goodness.
Mm. Mm.
And you want that to continue. So I was torn as a viewer, because on the one hand, I'm thinking to myself, like, I want that wholesomeness, that moral goodness to be sustained, even though secretly I diss films that do that, because human beings are complex, right?
Mm.
You can diss Musima Mana and then be taken, have your wig taken off for using a bad header in your column. So at the point at which it turns out that this guy actually also pushes drugs.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's something that he has to tell this lighty a little bit later on.
Mm.
I thought to myself, my goodness, that's just such fantastic complexity.
Mm.
Because no one is Mother Teresa. We all have some good, some bad in us.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. And, you know, Eusebius, I was thinking and having a conversation with my friends because we did it as a friends movie date. For me, this movie comes out at such a... The timing for this movie is almost, I think, heavenly and absolutely perfect, because you must understand that in the States and in the world, actually, because we're all aware in terms of current affairs, it comes out at the intersection of the Black Lives Matter movement and a huge conversation happening in the States around how black men in that country are being killed by the police,
mm.
and also the Orlando shooting
mm.
that also happened in that country. It comes almost slam bam in the intersection of those two very big incidents in that country and very big talking points, and then it comes and it actually tackles that intersection to be black, to be masculine, to be queer, to be gay, what that means in the communities that you live in, right, and how it is that you navigate that, right,
mm.
and I think that's so amazing, and the way that it handled those topics, I think it was beautifully crafted, because there's an understanding that queerness is a certain kind of thing. So if you're a woman and you're queer, you're assumed to be masculine.
Mm.
If you're a man and you're queer and you're gay, you assumed a certain kind of femininity.
Mm.
And there's a masculinity that is always there, even when he's still little, in the very beginning.
Sharon, yeah.
Yes, even as he moves to Sharon, and you see how this masculinity becomes more and more tainted,
mm.
more and more violent, as he's almost cauterizing, you know, this pain and everything that's going on in his life with this rage,
mm.
and it continues to build up. And I think,
up, yeah.
and I think that it's a perfect example of how masculinity can become infected,
mm.
diseased, dangerous.
Mm, absolutely,
you know, with time mm. and with age and with experience.
Absolutely. Which was your favorite, Sharon? You know, this is one of my favorite fights with friends who love the movie. Not everyone loves it. I mean, one or two people say, I didn't get the hype, Eusebius. I don't know what you were on, Vanolia. I get the hype. We'll get back to that in a second. I think we sometimes think that a great black film must be brilliant in order to be good. But which was your favorite? Because there are three parts. It's
yeah.
nicely done.
Yeah.
And between my mates and I and my partner and I, we just couldn't decide. Because the young boy for me, the early Sharon in part one, there's something about the little boy's face. He doesn't even need to speak. He's got a physical mm. presence.
Mm.
He's a reminder of something that was taught to me by a South African filmmaker when he said, you know, Eusebius, a good script is just permission to film.
Yeah.
And if you look at a movie like Of Good Report, and my deepest apology to this great South African actor whose name now eludes me, was the main character. He doesn't utter a single word mm. in the film of mm. Good Report.
Mm.
Now, the script can't tell you how this person's funny, awkward face will look on set. That little boy just stole my heart. But then there's something about this teenager who's already beginning to become infected by the bad things Nolwazi is mm. talking about. And of course, not just because I'm gay, but then after you get to the adult Sharon, you're like, oh, geez, you know, got to be careful here. My water's going to break in the cinema. So which was your favorite one?
I liked, for me, I believe the teenager, Sharon, because what I liked about it is that they also, every part, they have specific names. Like the little one is called Little.
Yes.
Then the second one is Sharon. Then the older one is Black.
Yeah.
I liked the second one because, first of all, the character, the person they used, the actor they used, right? I loved the fact that like his face just showed pain.
Mm.
There was something about that, that you could mm. tell the struggle from the way he walked, from the way he spoke, the way he was awkward around people. And when it starts expanding on his experiences, the fact that you find out that Juan has passed away, spoiler alert, sorry.
I did say spoiler, don't worry.
Yeah.
The people are weighing in are the ones who've seen it.
Yeah, you find that Juan has passed away, and now that father figure he once had, who could, you know, just shield him from all the struggles he had, is not there anymore.
Mm.
And then there's a problem at school, which is just escalating. His mom is now a true crack addict. You know, it's all that pain he's holding in.
Mm.
And the way you just watch him just grow to get to a point where he's trying to figure himself out. He's trying to figure what's going on in life. He's trying to get his identity. And just one day, he just finally snaps. And that's when it goes into what Nola used to speak about, the masculinity.
Be honest, how did you react to that scene where he whacks the bully over the back with
I was so happy.
I was in the cinema. So my friends hate the fact that when I watch movies, like, I give commentary like, what are you doing or not? Yeah. Like, hide. And so when that happened, I was like, I literally started, I was like, yes! And my one friend grabs my hand, she's like, sit down. I was very, very excited by that. But I can't decide as well, because I think the team just, I was in tears through that middle bit of the movie, because like Maha was saying, just the level of pain, it's heavy, you know? And I was saying to
you, thing is, when you're so present with that middle scene, right? Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Where Sharon is now so poignant.
Mm.
You almost forget how good Little was.
Yeah.
I mean, when Little asks Juan, what is a faggot? I mean, that's just like, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another question I was wondering. I was debating this with Bay. Do you think Black was too hot in terms of how he was cast? I was like, really? Why do we always have to have these perfectly chiseled men?
I mean...
And we disagreed. He was kind of like of the view. You know, well, actually, what was interesting, but I think this is really like a BA student fetching their BA receipts, that yes, he was physically hot, but he wasn't sexualized the way in which well-sculpted men often are in Hollywood.
I would agree with you, BA Bay. I think so. Yeah, I don't think that there's anything wrong with him being... overtly attractive. I think actually it was a good decision to make, because if you look at Little and you look at the team, there's no, and I think that they did it on purpose in terms of the casting and the actors. There's nothing attractive about those little
boys.
That's
partly why I was suspicious. Like, yeah. Really? Where does Black come from? Is this like how a butterfly
but you
comes
see
out
what,
of
exactly,
what?
But now if you see, if he goes, if that boy, that fragile breaking boy is then put in jail for however many years and comes out, he's going to come out and make himself stronger. And stronger in our world means a number of things. It means physical strength. It means a certain kind of emotional strength, but it also means attractiveness.
Mm.
Because we all know that the more attractive people have an easier time in life. And so you make yourself
That's
more
true.
Attractive
That's
if you can.
True, yeah.
I think more when you look at that structure, actually, the way Sharon becomes Black, I think... That's how iconic, actually, the hitting with the chair, when he hits the bully with the chair, is. Because it literally just releases him from being so innocent to becoming so gangster, technically. Because when he comes out, he's bigger, he's got grills, he's got gold grills, he's pushing drugs now. He's just this bad boy. This, like, it just induces masculinity everywhere. So
true.
I think... Yeah, I don't know about the attractiveness, but I think when it comes to
this is a straight man, not commentary. Oh my goodness, the fragile masculinity of my straight producer.
But I truly believe that the way he looked, it really did have it was very iconic, especially through the transition of the three stages.
Okay, yeah. I need one of you here. I think Nolaza, you go man the phone, Shane.
Mohao
doesn't get on air enough. But before we go, I wanted to ask you, how beautiful was that first scene with the yellow bone, the teenagers, when they're like,
I think it was, but my favorite scene in that movie, Eusebius, there's the one in the ocean with Juan. That's my favorite scene, where he's teaching him how to swim.
Oh.
For me, I mean, I come from a religious background, so there's
praise
all
me.
Of that.
Praise me.
All of that imagery around baptism, you know, it was, I think
CBS
that was beautiful.
Students, I don't even see that imagery in it, yeah. 011-883-0702, what did you make of it? 021-446-0567, Ulazi will take your calls. We've only got 10 minutes left. We'll take a bit of a spot break. I want your reaction. Did you like it as much as we did? We absolutely loved it. We're still going to be chatting, Mohao and I, about just the way it was filmed, which is interesting. And then a couple of people who loved it, Mohao, and maybe Nolazi, you can come back if no one wants to call and talk to you, wants to talk about the ending. Some people were unsatisfied by it. But let's take a break. The team and I are talking about how much we loved Moonlight. What was our favorite bits? If you've seen it, you loved it, tell us why. 011-883-0702 in Joburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. No, Penny, it's still on circuit. I just checked out. Certainly the movie site suggests that it's still playing here in Joburg, at least at Cinema Nouveau in Rosebank. I highly recommend it. Here is some commentary from the cheap Twitter seats. You know it's a slow day at the office when you are reading the tweets of your roommate. Nduduzo says, I also like the Nolazi, love that scene in the ocean, Eusebius. I appreciated the delicacy, Nolazi. I think you'll enjoy this between a black man and a young child without being creepy or awkward and pedophilic, certainly. And then Bandile says, what was awesome for me, Eusebius, was how black's physical buffness, quote-unquote, / masculinity, how that was juxtaposed with timidity or shyness, which is femininity. That's so true, especially right towards the end when he goes back to the old lover from his teenage years and they're in the restaurant. It's such a gorgeous seen that, although I thought the yellow ball got uglier over time, Shane. Chapel, hello.
Hello, Eusebius. Thank you for a wonderful show.
Yes, sir. Did you see the film?
Yes, I did. I did. And what was incredible for me on Moonlight is the use of music. Never in the show do we see our black lives being narrated only with hip-hop or, you know, R&B or whatever, but he uses... The composer, Nicholas, uses a lot of string motifs, like this Chiron's theme that he uses. And he narrates, the whole movie uses all these classical themes, which is amazing for a black film where we often see things being done through hip-hop or other musical genres. And when you put this image of this black guy in the hood, and you see also this beautiful music, you hear this beautiful music, I think it's just amazing.
That is so true. That is so true. Maho, you agree?
Yeah, I do. What I loved about the scoring of the movie, it's the same thing. It's so subtle, you know. If you look at the imagery, it's in the neighborhood. It's rough. It's just dark, you know. And the grading is this blue light most of the time. So to have that subtle theme, it just creates a calming factor. Mm. The movie's so complex, even the way it was shot.
Talk about the way it was shot. We only have a minute left because when we first talked about it outside studio, the first thing you talked about was exactly that.
Yes, I love the way it was shot. It was so beautifully shot. The pacing was amazing. The whole point about Moonlight, I think, it was just to literally try and put everything together in just about 1 hour, 48 minutes, if I'm right. Mm. And to go from the pacing of keeping it so slow, but going through three stages, which means that it's actually quite fast-paced. It's so well done. Mm. It's so well done. And there was a moment I loved. My favorite moment is actually there's a scene where the mother is standing in front of a bedroom and they have this red light. It's this purple red light. And this beautiful score. It's all silent. You can't hear them speak. And she's just shouting at him and at level. And you look at the image. That is... So the beauty of that scene just overwhelms you as a viewer because you just gather everything. You don't need words to describe it. You don't need words to be said on that part.
Absolutely. Listen, we've only got 30 seconds. We're not going to resolve the question of the ending. I love the ending. And I did for, I don't know, maybe another BA reason. Nolazi didn't like it that much. I'll tell you why I liked it. Because life is not filled with mathematical resolutions. Did you like it?
Yeah, I like the ending. I think... The way it started with questions and left us with questions.
Absolutely. And that's life, you know? Absolutely. Thanks, guys. That's this week's edition of the Film Reviews by Nolwazi and Mohao.